Follow The Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts to listen to our episodes early and ad-free and get access to monthly exclusive episodes. Go to patreon.com/madnesspod. You can also hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts for ad-free episodes. We've got links in our show notes.
The opinions expressed in the following episode do not necessarily reflect those of the Minds of Madness podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
For most people, travel is a much-needed break from the daily grind, pressures from work and responsibilities. It's a chance to relax and unwind, reconnecting with parts of ourselves that get lost in everyday life. Vacations also allow the opportunity to try out a new identity for a while. Maybe an accountant swaps spreadsheets for a surfboard, or a software engineer trades coding for paragliding. And sometimes, people might even pretend to be someone else entirely, embracing the freedom to reinvent themselves, bonding and making connections with other travelers. Well, that's what happened in 2018 between two women in Fort Myers, Florida, the spring break capital of the world. But they weren't college kids making fast friends. They were women in their 50s. And although they'd just met the day before, they looked like old friends, or even sisters, as they sat at the Smoking Oyster Brewery bar. The two women at the bar seemed like any other tourist, laughing, drinking, and eating together, sunglasses perched on their heads. 59-year-old Pam Hutchinson was in Fort Myers Beach to support her friend, scattering her late husband's ashes. Lois Reese, on the other hand, was there for something else entirely. Shopping for a new identity. And she'd already found her next target. Join me now as we cover the case of a seemingly ordinary grandmother who was once the embodiment of routine suburban life before she suddenly veered into violent criminal behavior. You'll hear about the shockwave she sent through a community with her abrupt transformation into a fugitive on the run. A great place to spend the next 100 years is Blooming Prairie's town slogan. A small town tucked away in the southern part of Minnesota that embodies the spirit of Midwestern warmth and hospitality. Surrounded by vast cornfields and soybean crops, it's the kind of place you could drive right by without even knowing it. A night out in a small town like Blooming Prairie doesn't leave you with many options. There's either the local servicemen's club or a bowling alley. But it's the town's sports teams that possibly reinforce the Minnesota Nice stereotype, proudly represented by perhaps the least fierce-sounding mascot in history, the Awesome Blossoms. With a population of just under 2,000 and a main street that's just two blocks long, it's a town where people leave their doors unlocked and everyone knows each other, or at least thinks they do. One of the couples known by everyone in the community were Dave and Lois Reese. A typical Midwestern couple, married for 36 years, with three adult children and five grandchildren. Dave and Lois were high school sweethearts who'd met in their hometown of Rochester, Minnesota. Lois dropped out before graduating high school, while Dave finished and enlisted in the Navy. While going through his military training in San Francisco at the age of 19, Dave married Lois, who was 20 by that point. And in quick succession, they had three children together, barely a year between each of them. After his honorable discharge, the couple moved back to Rochester, where Dave worked as a forklift operator before pursuing his dream of opening up a bait shop and later running a successful waxworm farm. By 2018, Dave had a handful of employees, young men in their early 20s, who admired his easygoing nature and infectious smile. Lois initially ran a daycare, but joined Dave on the farm after closing it in 2014. Once her grandchildren were born, Lois dedicated a lot of her time and energy focused on her grandchildren, buying them lavish gifts, including each of their own ATVs when they were old enough. As a natural caregiver, Lois also took in her disabled sister Kim in 2012. Lois balanced her caregiving with hosting dinner parties, bowling at Bunkies, and playing slots at Diamond Joe's Casino. After work, Dave could be found enjoying beers and pool at the pub, bowling, watching Minnesota Vikings games with friends, fishing with his grandchildren, or volunteering at the Servicemen's Club. Dave and Lois were so well loved by the community. When their house burned down in 2006, the community rallied to help them rebuild it. But although they seemed like a picture-perfect couple with a nice home, a close-knit family, and a wide circle of friends, behind their Minnesota nice facade lay simmering tensions and unspoken grievances, setting the stage for a dark turn in their seemingly idyllic lives.
If you're like me and you've tried losing weight in the past, then you know how frustrating and confusing it can be. What kind of carbs do I eat? Or should I eat them at all? How much protein should I eat? How much fat do I eat? And what kind of fat? Macros this and macros that. What's even more frustrating is when you're putting in all this work and brain power, but aren't seeing any results, which is when most people give up. Well, what if I told you you could have your own metabolic coach at your disposal every single day at any time, taking out all the guesswork when it comes to what your body needs and when? A device that's like a looking glass into the inner workings of your body's metabolism at any given time. Well, there is, and it's called Lumen, the world's first handheld metabolic coach, a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. It's that simple. All you have to do is breathe in and out into the Lumen first thing in the morning, and the Lumen app will let you know if you're burning fat or carbs. Lumen then gives you a personalized daily nutrition plan based on your measurements. You can also breathe into it before and after workouts and meals, so you know exactly what's going on in your body in real time. What I love most about Lumen is that it's truly like having your own metabolic coach, tailored specifically to what your body needs and how it's functioning. But what's been the real game changer for me is that it's taken out all the anxiety and guesswork when it comes to my weight management, and it's given me the confidence to go about my day knowing I'm making the right choices when it comes to what I'm putting into my body and when. And I'm finally seeing and feeling the results for the first time in a long time. I feel more rested, energized, healthier, and I'm sleeping better than ever. And I'm finally losing weight. So if you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me/madness to get 15% off your Lumen. That's lumen.me/madness for 15% off your purchase. We've also provided a link in our show notes. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
March 11th, 2018 was a typical Sunday for Dave and Lois as they drove to Wisconsin to watch their grandson's basketball game. But as Dave and Lois drove home afterward, things weren't all that peachy between the couple as they found themselves embroiled in a heated argument about money, a topic they often fought about. The next day, as employees arrived at the waxworm farm to start their workday, Lois came out of the barn and informed the foreman, Tom Vermilia, that Dave wasn't feeling well and wouldn't be working that day. Lois then said she had to get back to the house to take care of Dave. Well, it turned out, Dave's illness was more serious than initially thought, because he went on to miss work again on Tuesday and Wednesday. After spending 3 days in bed, it was clear Dave wasn't just fighting a 24-hour flu bug. Tom Vermilia and the other employees were worried about their employer. They knew he suffered from diverticulitis, an inflammatory condition of the large intestine that, when active, can cause bleeding and abdominal pain, a condition that had landed Dave in the hospital before. But at least he had Lois by his side, taking care of him at home. On Thursday, Lois returned to the barn with an update for Tom, telling him she was planning on taking Dave to the doctor the next day. But to Tom, it was strange not to hear from Dave for that entire week. He always kept in touch, even when he was sick or his diverticulitis flared up. He'd still go down to the farm to make sure things were running smoothly, no matter how ill he felt. Weirder still, Dave hadn't picked up or returned any of Tom's calls. Surely, Dave hadn't been completely incapacitated by his health issues. And when he received a text response from Dave, the message was suspiciously different. Normally, Dave dictated his texts, causing the words to run together. But these replies were punctuated correctly. Dave's employees wouldn't get another update from Lois until the following week. And it was good news. The doctor had given Dave the green light to participate in the season opener of the Cabela's Masters Walleye Circuit, a fishing competition on the Illinois River. That meant Dave would be leaving on Tuesday morning to pick up his buddy and make the five-hour drive to the competition site. But any relief Dave's friends and employees might have felt about hearing his health had improved was short-lived. Dave always drove his Escalade to fishing events because it had the horsepower to tow his 20-foot-long boat. So when the Waxworm employees spotted Lois peeling out of the driveway in Dave's Escalade 2 days after he was supposed to have left to the fishing tournament, they knew something was very wrong. Why was Lois driving Dave's Escalade? And if he wasn't at the tournament, then where was he? Was he still sick inside the house? Why would Lois fabricate a story about Dave going to a fishing tournament? The last time anyone saw Dave in person was on Thursday evening, March 8th, 2018, at the J&H, a small liquor store with a pub in the back. The farm foreman, Tom, noticed the house was dark and decided it was time to contact authorities for a wellness check on his boss. When the police arrived and knocked on the front door, they got no answer. So they decided to circle around the back of the house, where they noticed a single light on in the bathroom. What they saw when they peered through the window was a sight that would shatter the tranquility of the Waxworm farm and forever alter the sleepy town of Blooming Prairie. On the bathroom floor was a blanket in the shape of a body. Knowing they needed backup, police immediately called in the county sheriffs. After entering the home of Dave and Lois Reed, deputies made their way up to the bathroom, where they'd seen the shape of a body covered by a blanket. But as they twisted the doorknob, they found the door difficult to push open. After finally forcing their way into the bathroom, the officers soon learned why it had been so difficult to open. Because the door had been stuck on a towel, wedged between the gap between the floor and the door. Inside the bathroom was indeed a body, and they could tell right away by the smell that it was someone who had been deceased for a while. It was Dave, already in an advanced state of decomposition. An autopsy would later reveal that he'd been shot multiple times in the chest and back with what deputies would later learn was a .22 handgun. But what happened, and where was Lois, Dave's wife of 35 years? Was there someone else in Dave's Escalade with her? Maybe crouched down in the back seat, aiming a .22 handgun at her? Was it possible that whoever did this took Lois against her will? Or maybe Dave's killer was closer than anyone could have imagined. Had the loving, caregiving grandmother snapped and murdered her husband? On April 3rd, 2018, Pamela Hutchinson checked into room 404 at Marina Villages in Snug Harbor on Fort Myers Beach. Although she'd grown up in Virginia and had a large extended family there, Pamela was now happily single after a bitter divorce and thought Florida's Gulf Coast was a perfect place for a new beginning. Back in Virginia, Pamela had a successful career in sales management at a car dealership and was the top-ranked salesperson in Virginia Beach. Friends described her as a kind and giving person who was always the life of the party and loved to travel and spend time at the beach. And although she didn't have kids, Pamela was known to be a caregiver, just like Lois, caring for her aging mother until she passed away. On paper, Pamela and Lois seemed like a perfect match for friendship. So it's easy to see how the two women hit it off after meeting for the first time when Lois turned up in Florida, 16,000 miles from Blooming Prairie, and crossed paths with Pamela at Marina Villages. Though the exact circumstances of their meeting aren't clear, surveillance footage captured the two women walking to and from Pamela's hotel room on April 4th, 2018. The video also shows them returning together early the next morning. On April 5th, Pam and Lois were seen eating and drinking margaritas at the Smoking Oyster Brewery. Later that night, cameras caught the women walking towards Pamela's room together again. As it turned out, Pamela had offered Lois the spare room at the Marina Villages. Friends of Pamela later stated that offering a room to a near stranger was not something Pamela would normally do. Maybe it was the margaritas or good conversation. Either way, it seemed the women had hit it off well enough for Pam to feel comfortable offering a room to Lois. But what Pamela didn't suspect was that fun, bubbly Lois wanted much more than a room for the night. Lois wanted to become Pamela.
As parents, one of the things Tyler and I used to dread most about each day was trying to figure out what we were going to feed our kids, what to pack in their lunch, and what to prepare for dinner. Because we always wanted to make sure they were getting all the nutrients they needed for their growing bodies and minds, especially the ones that have dietary restrictions, like our oldest daughter, who's lactose intolerant, or our youngest, who's a vegetarian. So the one thing we turned to help ease some of that anxiety were vitamins. And the ones that mimicked candy were the ones we had the most success giving to them. But we didn't realize that those vitamins were even more like candy than we could have imagined, filled with 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and other gummy junk growing kids should never eat. That's why Hiya was created, the pediatrician-approved, super-powered, chewable vitamin. Now, while most children's vitamins are filled with 5 grams of sugar and can contribute to a variety of health issues, Hiya is made with zero sugar and zero gummy junk, tastes great, and is perfect for picky eaters. Hiya fills in the most common gaps in modern children's diets to provide the full body nourishment our kids need with a yummy taste they love. Formulated with the help of nutritional experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals to help support immunity, energy, brain function, mood, which we can all appreciate as parents, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. They're also non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and everything else you can imagine. And Hiya is designed for kids as young as 2 and up and sent straight to your door, giving us parents one less thing to worry about. So why not check out Hiya? We've worked out a special deal for our listeners for Hiya's best-selling children's vitamins, so you can receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, just go to HiyaHealth.com/madness, because this deal is not available on their regular website. Go to HiyaHealth.com/madness and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Just go to HiyaHealth.com/madness. We've also provided a link in our show notes.
Back in Blooming Prairie, Sheriff Deputy Scott Rose led the investigation into Dave's murder, and it didn't take long for concerns about Lois's safety to vanish. Instead, Lois had become a person of interest. Investigators would soon discover that on March 23rd, after shooting her husband multiple times, Lois then drove to a bank in Glenville, Minnesota, where she forged her husband's signature and cashed out more than $11,000 in stolen checks from him and his business. Detectives would also learn that Lois's trips to Diamond Joe's Casino in Iowa were much more than just a casual hobby. Lois had developed a serious gambling addiction and had blown through a $500,000 inheritance at the casino. Authorities were also investigating Lois for felony theft in 2015. After being appointed as her disabled sister's guardian, Lois stole thousands of dollars from her, and a civil judgment filed in 2017 said she owed her sister $100,000. Lois had been willing to steal from her family and sink her own household into debt to feed the slot machines. Perhaps it wasn't such a stretch to think she might be willing to commit murder to sustain her addiction as well. Back at the Marina Village, Lois's plan to assume Pamela's identity was going better than she could have planned. After Pamela offered Lois her spare room to spend the night, Lois repaid her generosity by creeping up behind her when she was standing at the bathroom sink. Using a pillow as a makeshift silencer, Lois then shot Pamela point blank with a .22 revolver. Afterward, surveillance cameras at the Marina Village caught Lois standing outside on the balcony. It took her exactly 14 minutes to compose herself and go back inside. Before leaving, she put down towels around the door to mask the odor. She then called the front desk, pretending to be Pamela, and asked to extend her stay for 3 more days. On April 6th, she abandoned her husband's Escalade at a county-run beach park, returned to Marina Villages, and took Pamela's white Acura. After stealing Pamela's identification and whatever belongings appealed to her, she then went to a bank in Ocala, Florida. Wearing Pamela's signature fedora hat, she withdrew $500 from her account. But what Lois didn't know was that Pamela was expecting house guests at her home that weekend. When they arrived to find her not there and not answering her phone, they called Marina Villages on April 9th looking for her. Lori Russell, the building's manager, was the one to go to Pamela's condo. Upon entering, she noticed towels placed under the door, which immediately struck her as odd. Just like with the officers who'd found Dave Reese's body, when she attempted to push the door open, she found it wouldn't budge. But what concerned her the most was the foul smell coming from behind the door. Before going any further, Lori decided to call the police. Sergeant David Foraker was the first on the scene, a scene that looked very much like the one in Minnesota. One thing that stuck out was the placement of 2 stuffed monkeys on Pamela's bed, which appeared to be strategically placed to look as if they were kissing. Although Pamela's purse was there, her ID was missing, and the condo appeared to be ransacked. The building manager informed police that Pamela hadn't been alone and offered to show them the building surveillance footage. With the surveillance footage from around the condo and surrounding area, police discovered that the other woman seen with Pamela was wanted in Minnesota for murder and embezzlement, sparking a nationwide manhunt. On April 13th, Lee County Sheriff Carmine Marcino held a press conference.
Lee County Sheriff's Office responded to a medical assistance call at 645 Old San Carlos Boulevard in Fort Myers Beach. Upon arrival, deputies encountered a deceased 59-year-old female, later identified as Pamela Hutchinson, who was found to have suffered fatal gunshot wounds. The medical examiner determined that Ms. Hutchinson was the victim of a homicide. The Lee County Sheriff's Office Major Crimes Unit responded and assumed the investigation. Ms. Hutchinson's purse was found to be in disarray, and all cash, credit cards, and identification appeared to have been removed. Additionally, the decedent's car keys, vehicle, a white Acura TL with a Florida tag of Y37TAA were determined to be missing. Further investigation revealed that Ms. Hutchinson was targeted by the suspect due to the similarities in their appearance. Investigation concluded that Reese is currently a person of interest in a recent homicide that took place in Dodge County, Minnesota. Our major crimes unit has worked around the clock and has obtained an arrest warrant for Reese, a white female with a date of birth of February 28, 1962. Our detectives have reviewed hundreds of hours of video and traveled throughout the state and collected hundreds of items for forensic examination and have coordinated efforts with our state and federal agencies. It has been determined that Reese has fled Southwest Florida and has traveled through the Gulf States and into Corpus Christi, Texas area, and current whereabouts are unknown. Reese is wanted for murder, grand theft of a motor vehicle, and grand theft and criminal use of personal identification. Reese's mode of operation is to befriend women who resemble her and steal their identity. U.S. Marshals are actively involved in a national search for this dangerous fugitive.
Authorities put up wanted posters and billboards with a $6,000 reward in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and California, labeling Lois as armed and dangerous. Most of the posters were strategically placed near casinos. Like a lever pull on a slot machine, Lois gambled on her wits and agility. Or maybe she gambled on what is known as the Invisible Woman Syndrome. Despite a nationwide manhunt, Lois waltzed in and out of casinos, feeding her addiction, completely unnoticed for another 10 days. The term Invisible Woman Syndrome has evolved over time, particularly within feminist literature and discourse, describing the phenomenon of middle-aged and older women who feel overlooked or ignored by society in various aspects, such as media representation, workplace dynamics, and social interactions. While it's considered a negative aspect of how our society devalues women, it seemed that Lois, deliberately or not, used the cloak of this supposed syndrome to hide in plain sight. Maybe Lois believed that superficial similarities among women of a certain age would not be closely scrutinized, allowing her to easily assume the identity of another woman in her age group. So much so, she felt bold enough to use her real name when she won a $1,500 jackpot at a casino resort in Kinder, Louisiana. Perhaps she was confident she'd continue to go unnoticed, or maybe she wanted to show the world Lois wasn't always losing. Even the media highlighted Lois's age by sensationally dubbing her the killer grandma. Regardless, Lois managed to go undetected for days as she continued on her cross-country gambling spree while on the run from the law. It also allowed her to hunt for another identity and her next doppelganger. After a license plate reader picked up Pamela's Acura in Corpus Christi, Texas, authorities speculated that Lois was making a run for the Mexican border. Once Lois reached southern Texas, instead of crossing into Mexico, she decided to check into a Motel 6 and relax in the resort area of South Padre Island. Maybe Lois enjoyed the margaritas served at Padre Rita while chatting with staff and other vacationers. Perhaps this is why she lingered, or had she already spotted someone she thought she resembled? Days after arriving, Lois sat down next to a woman named Bernadette Mathis at a restaurant and they started chatting. By this point, Lois was going by the name LaDonna after a blunder. She nearly offered her own name and quickly covered it up by adding an L to her alias. Lois's story was, she recently became a widow and was looking to buy property in the area. Bernadette found Lois delightful and exchanged numbers with her so they could meet up for dinner the following day. Like Pamela, Bernadette was quick to invite Lois over for a soak in her hot tub afterward. But once Lois was at Bernadette's house, she noticed security cameras everywhere. Bernadette explained that her home had been recently broken into, so she upped her home security. After spending the night, Lois and Bernadette went out for breakfast and made plans to have dinner again. Then Bernadette dropped off Lois at the Motel 6. Over the next few days, Lois texted Bernadette expressing how happy she was to have met a new friend and invited her out for dinner the next weekend. But fortunately for Bernadette, that dinner would never happen.
She's a grandmother on the run, accused of killing her husband, stealing thousands of dollars from his personal bank account, and then taking off to Florida, where investigators believe she also murdered a woman who looks like her, to steal that woman's identity.
After 4 weeks and a 2,000-mile cross-country run, Lois Reese was finally arrested without incident at an upscale restaurant. She was sipping a glass of wine and eating a meal sitting at the bar, where she could prowl for other lookalikes. Lois spent 10 days in San Padre, unnoticed, despite being a national news headline, until finally, a manager at a different restaurant noticed her and called the U.S. Marshals. As Lois placed a $100 bill on the bar to pay for her meal, the restaurant was surrounded by law enforcement and she was arrested.
The marshals arrested Lois Reese in South Padre Island, Texas. This apprehension was made possible from a tip from a citizen who recognized Reese and called the U.S. Marshals. Deputy marshals from the Brownsville, Texas office responded along with South Padre Island Police Department to a restaurant and bar on the South Padre Island. Reese was identified and taken into custody without incident.
This case from the very beginning struck me as odd. We look at her appearance. She looks like anybody's mother or grandmother, yet she's an absolute cold-blooded murderer.
At first, Lois refused to speak or answer any questions, but eventually she told police her version of events that she said prompted her to shoot her husband. Lois had suffered from bouts of depression and at one point had been hospitalized after a suicide attempt. On the day Lois and Dave fought about money as they drove from their grandson's basketball game, it was an argument that ran deeper than typical household budgeting. Dave had cut off Lois from their finances, which also meant she was cut off from playing slot machines. When they got back to the farm, Lois claimed Dave pulled out his .22 caliber handgun and handed it to her. He then told her that maybe she should get it right this time, referring to her previous suicide attempt. Lois said she then turned the gun on Dave, aimed at his heart, and shot him multiple times before placing towels by the door in hopes of stifling the smell of decomposition. It's been speculated that Lois shot Dave because she was in the throes of a desperate craving to gamble, because she'd fallen into what's been coined as a dark flow after a 2019 study linked slot machine addiction and depression. Dark flow is a phenomenon where a person becomes totally engrossed in playing slots, forgetting everything else going on in their life. And it's this state of absorption that leads to dark consequences, like spending more money than planned. But for the gambler, dark flow is linked with a positive mood. After murdering her husband, Lois bought some time for herself by pretending to be Dave, texting from his phone, and making plans, not only to go on the run, but to also get money out of Dave's account so she could continue feeding her addiction. After being spotted pulling out of the driveway that day in Dave's Escalade, Lois's first stop was at a bank 30 minutes from Blooming Prairie, where she cashed forged checks and then headed straight to Diamond Joe's Casino to spend the day gambling. She then stopped at a convenience store, where she bought a sandwich and casually asked the clerk for directions.
"Okay, if you want to start heading south, would you take 35 south? Just to keep going on down to the next state?" Is that the way to go, you think?
I think so, because I think that goes, 35 goes through, it goes down to Omaha, like past Omaha and all that.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yep.
Lois Reese walked into a Florida courtroom Tuesday morning to enter a plea that would ensure she'd spend the rest of her life in prison.
In Florida, Lois was charged with first-degree murder, grand theft auto, grand theft, and criminal use of personal identification of a deceased individual.
A Minnesota woman who earlier pleaded guilty to killing a woman in Florida has been sentenced to life in prison without parole after pleading guilty to killing her husband before going on the run.
After being extradited back to Blooming Prairie in 2020, Lois pled guilty to the murder of her husband and was sentenced to life in prison. When she had the opportunity to address the court, Lois said, "What I did was an unpardonable crime. Solitude is forever. I feel I deserve this. I will have no reprieve." Controversy emerged regarding the authorities' response time following Lois's arrest. Could Pamela's murder have been prevented? 3 days before local surveillance footage caught Lois and Pamela together, Tess Koster called 911 after seeing Lois outside her home. Tess and her husband lived in Blooming Prairie and were friends with Lois and Dave. The foursome would go out to dinner together. However, Tess and her husband were snowbirds with multiple properties in Florida. They'd even had Dave and Lois come down to stay with them. Of course, the news that Lois was suspected of murdering Dave spread quickly through the small town and all the way down to Tess in Florida. Well, wouldn't you know it, Tess came face to face with Lois while she was in the open garage of one of her properties. A white Escalade drove up, and a woman with an address book got out of the vehicle. Tess immediately recognized Lois, though her hair had been dyed a platinum white blonde. When Lois saw that Tess was at the property, she acted like she had the wrong house and pretended she didn't know who Tess was. Tess immediately called 911.
There's an ATV out for a Lois Reese from Blooming Prairie, Minnesota in Steele County. She just got out of her car at my Florida house. I also live in Blooming Prairie, so I know about the whole thing, Fort Myers Beach. She was just here.
Tess believed that Lois had intended to squat inside the house, or even worse, that Lois had more nefarious intentions. Tess feared that she might be on Lois's list as a potential victim of identity theft. The 911 dispatcher instructed Tess to contact the Dodge County authorities in Minnesota, which she did. But when she called the Florida police, there were delays and bureaucratic issues related to jurisdiction, which ate into precious time, allowing Lois time to target and befriend Pamela. In another strange twist, in March 2019, Lois's sister, Cynthia Grund, found herself mirroring Lois's crimes. Cynthia had been arguing with her 37-year-old son, who struggled with alcohol issues. After kicking him out of the house, she decided to offer him a ride as he walked down their long rural driveway. As she pulled up in her Ford Explorer, her son wouldn't get into the car. Instead, lay down in front of it. He then said, "Why don't you just run me over?" And Cynthia did just that. She backed up and ran over her son with a full-sized SUV. She was arrested at the scene and charged with second-degree assault and reckless driving, charges that might have been upgraded to attempted murder, but thankfully, her son survived the incident. To date, Cynthia remains in custody until her trial date. But when she was asked why she did what she did, she answered, "Because he didn't believe I would do it." Lois's crimes have long puzzled the residents of Blooming Prairie, as well as her children. Her youngest son, Braden, who appeared on Inside Edition, stated that his mother was a good lady who just snapped. A caring mother who always put her kids first, but her inner demons and addiction to gambling won over. Gambling is a terrible thing that can suck people in and destroy lives. Follow the Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To support the show and get access to ad-free episodes, extra content, and Patreon-exclusive episodes, go to patreon.com/madnesspod. To find us on Instagram and Facebook, search The Minds of Madness, and on Twitter using the handle @madnesspod. And also, by checking out our sponsors and using our promo codes, you're also helping support the show. We've got all the links in our episode notes. So until next week, thanks for listening.